Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Stacey Dales, NFL Network correspondent.
Doing great. Good morning, everybody.
Breaking down the Bears beating news around the NFL.
What an absolute delight to be joined by the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. That is Caleb Williams. How has this thing been going for you, Caleb?
Yeah, it's been really fun.
Former WNBA star.
And the ball stolen away. Didn't see her coming, and Perkins gets the clean steal. Over to Dales, easy land. Stacey Dales off a beautiful feed from Elaine Powell.
Stacey Dales with Mully and Haw.
And I live in Chicago, and I do the Score radio, a little plug there.
Sure.
Every
670.
Week.
Shout out to the host.
This has been an emotional freaking roller coaster, you guys.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mully off today. We've been talking about Sammy Sosa, his return to Wrigley Field later today when the Cubs play the Mariners. He will be touring the facilities, meeting the media, and introduced, we believe, on the video board around the second inning. You don't want to miss that. Keep it right here on the Score, 1245. Pregame begins on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. But time to take a little bit of a respite here from the Cubs and Sosa talk to bring in one of our favorite guests during the football season and throughout the year. She's been out for a while. Stacey Dales joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, new tires for spring, aturo.com. Stacey, it is great to talk to you. I'm thrilled that you have come back and you're back to work because you've been through an ordeal with, I'll let you explain the surgery, but it sounds like you are closer to being pain-free than you have in some time.
Well, I hope that's the case, David. It's great to see, or great to be on the airways with you. We're not seeing each other, but it has been quite a journey. It was like 7 weeks ago I had neck surgery to replace a disc in my cervical spine. So for any of the listeners that have neck pain and back problems, they're probably nodding their head right now. Like, it's very painful. It was long overdue. And they kind of go through the front of your neck to get to the back of your neck. And if I were to phrase it for you to get a good visual, but it's like you're replacing a tire on your vehicle and you're jacking up your car. So they jack up your spine and then they take out the bad stuff, right? So that's bone spurs. And, you know, my bones were kind of growing together from an old injury, and they take it all out. They put a new tire in and they clamp you back down, and it, you know, maybe if you're lucky you get another quarter inch on your height, but it's quite a procedure. I had a great doctor, Harel Deutsch at Rush, and you know, I'll say this, like, the medical people are incredible miracle workers, and that's what they did for me. So I'm hoping once my muscles calm down, I'm not making a comeback, David. I'm not coming back to the court. I'll just say that. But football season should be a little bit less painful when I travel.
Well, that's great to hear. And it's terrific news for all people that have followed your plight, and you were open about it, and really appreciate that. So, Stacey, while you were gone, not a whole lot of things happened necessarily. It is kind of a quieter portion of the NFL calendar, mm-hmm. but the Bears did have their mini camps. They did have their OTAs, and they did have a lot of enthusiasm building toward what should be, what people in Chicago hope will be, a transitional mm-hmm. season into the winning under Ben Johnson. What do you think, where do you think they are in terms of expectations, and how much of an impact have you seen already from Ben Johnson's effect on Caleb Williams?
Well, I think anytime you have a new regime take over, regardless in the NFL, you feel a change. So that's just kind of part of the normalcy of culture change and coaching staff change. You know, I think I wasn't able to get out there as much as I wanted to, but I can't wait for training camp because I can't wait to see how clean the operation starts, the entire operation. It's from my understanding, David, that, and just by knowing Ben and, you know, just some of the coaches that he has on his staff now and the demand, when you're trying to clean up any culture that you take over, it starts with fundamental details. I mean, you know, you can talk about John Wooden and how great he was. The first thing he did every year was let's relearn how to tie our shoelaces to go out and play so they don't come undone. And that's become kind of a cliche over the years, but it's true. And that's kind of what they've done there. There's literally nothing let go. So when you hear no stone unturned, in the absolute form, it's been the case. If a rep wasn't done right, famously DJ Moore talking about his body language, right? And I think that's so important for your veterans. You know, when I think of like DJ saying that he had a bad day of body language or a bad moment of body language and it will never happen again, that is fact. And then I think about the Detroit Lions and their offense, and I think of like Amon-Ra St. Brown. And that guy wants the ball. That guy wants the football. And, you know, I've done interviews with him over the years, like in his time in the league, David, where maybe, you know, at the end of the game where he didn't have a 100-yard game and maybe he only had 5 catches. But because of his willingness to block, I mean, you watch the Lions, and this is where I think you're going to see some interesting things with the Bears. He's going to get the ball at opportune times to get those yaks. And he learned mentally that if I do all those things, I'm going to get mine at some point. So that's the culture that you're staring down if you're Bears fans, that Ben Johnson is really trying to create in Chicago.
There were 3 things that happened during OTAs and minicamp as they get ready for training camp at about 5 weeks away, a month from yesterday, I believe, rookies report. Stacey, I want to get your thoughts on. Number one, it looks like they really hope that Ozzie Cipolla, a rookie, will be the starting left tackle. They're going to give him every chance to win that job. That's surprising. Number two, the fact that they went into the season now, as of today, without a real veteran running back to complement DeAndre Swift, and Kyle Manungai is going to get a shot as a 7th-round draft pick. And number three, Jaquan Brisker and his commitment to playing the same style, and the Bears seem to be counting on him being able to do that because they don't have a lot of depth at that position. So those are the 3 things I think that stood out to me as we get ready for, you know, this lull in the calendar.
Astutely, and no surprise, Ozzie throws out first pitch at the Cubs game, they chose him. I just sense there's a lot of leadership qualities they like around him. Obviously, he's got a massive frame. And, you know, whoever that guy is, David, is going to be standing alongside Joe Tooney. And Joe Tooney is, he's going to tune you up, like, pardon the pun, but he's really brilliant in the trenches, and he's going to have an impact just by the sheer elements of his brains in the game and with his experience and his knowledge accrued over the years. I'm okay with having a competition at blindside. I'm totally okay with it because, we've said this until we were blue in the face. They had a competition at center last year during the entirety of training camp, and that's not where I want to see competition. That guy, so you got Drew Dolman in there right now. What you have to have in a Ben Johnson offense is the brains of your offense has to be your offensive line. And I really feel like, you know, they're going to put their 5, the best combination out there that have the most intuitive collective brain to execute the things that he wants to do. If you go back and you watch Ben Johnson tape or film over the years, just as an offensive play caller, I mean, he does a lot of different concepts. Blocking concepts up front. He'll give you some zone blocking concepts. He'll give you some gap blocking concepts. He loves to create misdirection. He loves to get you going one way. And his first play is all could be, it might get you a yard or two, but it's to get you thinking an entirely different direction defensively in terms of what's coming at you. And that all has to start with your offensive line. And so, By the sheer additions of those 3 guys on the interior, Jackson, Dolman, and Tooney, there's a brain matter there, a brain trust. And those two bookends are going to be really, really critical. It goes without saying. But I think Ozzie Tripillo, where they drafted him, obviously higher than, you know, a lot of people have been talking about. Good for him, though. And so I think that probably there was something in those meetings that triggered the staff that, like, this guy could be potentially a nice bookend down the stretch for us and create a little bit of versatility for us with our offensive line and certainly some depth.
How surprised were you that Jaquan Brisker didn't sound like a guy who was as concerned about his future as others seem to be?
I'm not concerned. I think that first of all, I think the secondary, and by the way, I didn't get to the run game, but I'm the offensive line to me is everything. The way Dennis Allen likes to use his secondary, I think that if you're a player in this scheme right now, you're a yes man and whatever you need, coach. And I just think that the attitude of this group is, if this pass rush doesn't improve, which it has to get better. That's quarterback pressures. That's the ability to affect the quarterback and to allow his, he loves to play a lot of press man. I mean, guys in the NFL want to play that style, right? You go talk to anybody on his former defenses. And so you think about Jaquan Brisker, I have the belief that he mentally thinks he can flourish in this scheme with Dennis Allen. And I just think it's going to be very aggressive, and I think that fits his personality.
Talking with Stacey Dales from the NFL Network, I also wanted to ask you about what's going on in the WNBA. People do remember you. They know you from the NFL Network, but maybe some people forget you were a WNBA All-Star. I think you scored the first basket for the Chicago Sky. So you have a lot invested in and a lot of interest in professional women's basketball and what's going on in the league. Kayla Clark's absence created obviously a dip in television ratings, and then her return has sparked this, what's been a very rugged week in the league, and a lot of conversation about how she is handled and how she is treated. What are your thoughts as you watch the way that Caitlin Clark, just her presence in the league, which creates, whether it's controversy or whether it's resentment, or there's a lot of things going on with Caitlin Clark that is hard to explain from our perspective?
Yeah, so I did play in the league and played against a lot of really good players. I've never seen a player at her age as good as she is. I'll say that to start. Second of all, I am habitually looking up the Fever's TV schedule so I can watch her. And again, your listeners right now are nodding their heads. She is transcendent. They lost last night to the new team out in Golden State. She didn't play great. I watched the game against the Connecticut the other night when she got the snot knocked out of her. She's really special, and I think because of what she brings to the game, like, she dishes it out as much as she takes it. I think that's important as well to remember. You know, I played against, like, you know, Tamika Catchings is probably the best competitor. Diana Taurasi and Tamika Catchings, in terms of just their, Tamika was, you know, obviously a long time Lady Vol, and then, you know, won championships there at Tennessee and won championships at the WNBA with the Fever, ironically. She was nasty on the court. She made me, my goal was to draw a technical foul out of her when I defended her, because I kind of was a swing player as a guard. And I think with you know, Taurasi, if you don't walk onto the court with the mindset that you have to have a higher level of attitude than she does, you're going to lose. That's what Caitlin Clark causes, David. She causes the opposition to raise their standard to a different level. Probably a level that maybe they haven't mentally had to go to, because she's that good and she'll embarrass you in a heartbeat. I mean, and then it's just the way you have to defend her. Like, you have to have a full court defensive mindset to defend her in the half court. What does that mean? It means if you don't shaves some time off the clock just by her bringing up the ball in a way, just pestering her. So there you go, it's about 4 seconds. And now you're into the half court, and she sucks the defense out so far. And this is the thing that, you know, she wants to step to the left to get her shot off, right? She wants to do the drop and pop to the left and create space for herself. And she can do it pretty much whenever she wants to. But you don't know when she's going to do it. She's so unpredictable. And it's because of all the other things she does well. She works on her ball handling as much as she does her long range game, as much as she does her short game, as much as she does a floater. She creates such havoc in the half court for a defense. It's just so hard to defend her. Now, I say all this, and the Fever are third right now in the Eastern Conference race. The Liberty are 10-2. The Fever are 6-6. They're not even at the top. They're behind the Dream and the Liberty in their respective race. So it's a longer season. It's good. There's going to be more games to play. But when she plays, I want to watch her. She's a headache in every stretch of the imagination. And the physicality that we're seeing is because you have to be. You have to take your game to a higher level to try to figure out a way to disrupt her.
She raises the standards. She raises the intensity. And some teams may cross that line. Has this exposed, do you think, does the WNBA have an officiating problem because of the way that now they're you look at what the way she's handled, the way she's treated, and you wonder if the officials can handle that?
When there's something new or something, and I'm not saying the WNBA has been great for a long time. Like, if you haven't been watching, it's okay. No shame on you. But it's been really competitive for a very long time. You know, as a former player, I'm always going to go back and say that the officiating could be better. I mean, I remember in college, David, like, I did some things from an advanced standpoint on the court that a lot of other women weren't doing. And there were a handful of players like that, Sue Bird. And I say that very humbly. But, like, there was a play in the national championship game that I played in back in college. And they called me for a travel, and it wasn't a travel. And, in fact, I worked for ESPN to start my career, and one of my bosses came to me and she said, you know, we submitted that clip for an Emmy because we played the replay back like 3 times. It wasn't a travel. She had never seen that basketball move, the official. So how do you think the officials are dealing now with, like, fighting? We're looking at, like, body checks. Like, Marina Mabry should have been ejected. The official was right at Connecticut versus Indiana game. Mm-hmm. How could you not eject Marina Mabry? Like, was it so new to you that you'd never seen it before? Maybe. So they need to catch up with the game. And, you know, maybe there need to be, you know, I don't know what Kathy Engelbert, the commissioner of the WNBA is doing about it, but maybe they need to create, you know, a more difficult pathway for some of these pro referees, because a lot of these pro referees are college referees too. Okay. And I don't think that's how the NBA operates. By the way, go Pacers. I went to the University of Oklahoma. I'm a Halley fan. So,
oh, that's good. Well, I say go Pacers too. I don't think it's going to happen. I hope it does.
No,
but
it won't.
It surprises me that somebody in the Oklahoma Hall of Fame, the game is going to be in Oklahoma City, and you are go Pacers.
No, I love both teams. I'm just, especially I got my Canadian on the Thunder, and obviously I love the people of Oklahoma. So these are two, what a great game we're going to see on the weekend. Like, it's just like two true basketball teams, right? They play it the old school way.
As a Canadian, can you explain what's going on with the Oilers? Why can't they win?
I don't want to talk about it.
You either?
No.
Connor McDavid doesn't want to talk about it either.
I stopped watching. Like, this time of year is so fun, right? Because I'm like, when is Caitlin Clark playing? Okay, I've got my NBA playoff run here, the finals race. And I had to drop the Oilers because I just couldn't watch it anymore.
I understand. I picked the Oilers, and I didn't want to watch after seeing how good the Panthers were in that series.
They were.
Yeah, they dominated.
Right?
Stacey, only got a minute left, but I want to get your thoughts real quickly. Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh for the Steelers. They were a 10-win team. What does he make them next year?
Well, they're not going to be they're never going to be out of the conversation. They go to the playoffs every year because of Mike Tomlin. Now, they haven't won a playoff game since, I think, 2016. So I would have to fact check myself on that. But because of their defense, I know people are going to say they're old, you know, they're getting too old defensively, that Cam Hayward and T.J. Watt and T.J. injury all of last year. He still, five seasons, has more than anybody in the National Football League. I love their talent. I love their first-round Derek Harmon addition to their defensive front. Their defense is going to be really good, really good. He's got a defense. He wanted this environment, as I had talked about, you know, in our sort of reaction on the day it happened on that Thursday 3 weeks ago. This is the environment he wanted because of Mike Tomlin. Like, Aaron has to be in a culture that's insulated in many respects, like Green Bay was, the Jets. I was always perplexed by that, excuse me, because it just isn't the environment he needed. But it's the environment he needs. I think he's got enough in terms of their offense with some veteran receivers. And their rookie running back, Caleb Johnson, is going to be fierce in the NFL out of Iowa, the third rounder. He is a big, long, he wants to be a big, long power back. His favorite back growing up, Derrick Henry. The offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, don't forget, was the offensive coordinator in Tennessee. That was prior to him taking over as head coach in Atlanta. Derrick Henry, in two seasons with Arthur Smith, had back-to-back years in which he led the league in rush yards. And it wasn't just leading the league, he dominated the league. So if Aaron lets Arthur allow him to have a run game, like, I think that if he allows the run game to happen, the Steelers can be pretty good, and I think, yeah, they can have a 10-win season.
Stacey, it's great to catch up with you. Mitch Rosen sends along his best. We're all thrilled that you have on your way to recovery, and you sound as good as ever. So really appreciate you joining
us
this morning.
Thank you. Great to be with you, David. Go Cubs.
Stacey Dales from the NFL Network sharing her thoughts on the Bears, the Steelers, Caitlin Clark, and many other things. She definitely, it's good to have her back on the airways. All right, when we come back, it's Pete Crow Armstrong, the fastest Cub player ever to get to 20 home runs and 20 stolen bases in the same season. He did it in 73 games. He will join us next on Mullion Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Score.
Pete Crow Armstrong.
What's up? I'm Pete Crow Armstrong. Now it's my time to shine.
I listened to your call of the home run of Pete two nights ago in the eighth inning, and that was pretty entertaining.
Pete Crow Armstrong leads off and drives one off the video board. It's like we're watching a movie starring Pete Crow Armstrong in this eighth inning.
The Pete Crow Armstrong movie in the eighth inning, that was really good.
It just kind of came to mind. It was almost like it was part of a fantasy, like a movie.
Here's a swing and a drive, deep right field. It's got a chance, gone! Pete Crow Armstrong has homered again.
That's why we come to the ballpark, to see things like that, to see great players do great things.
Pete Crow Armstrong with Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Time now to go out to the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo Tire. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. And that's where we find the fastest Cub to get to 20 home runs and 20 stolen bases in a season ever. And his name is Pete Crow Armstrong, and he joins us now. Good morning, Pete. How are you?
Really good. How are you guys? What's going on?
Doing well. Thank you for joining us this morning. Congratulations on all the success you've had to this point. You heard the intro.
Thank you.
You heard the open. you heard that this is the movie that you were starring in. Who thought in a family full of actors that you would be the box office attraction?
Shoot, I don't know, not me. Probably my parents, though. I think they got pretty good judgment.
Let's talk about the success that you have had and your parents and all the people in your life and in your inner circle, Pete, because I imagine the success has come quickly, and this season has been so much fun to watch and I'm sure to experience. How difficult is it to stay humble amid all the hoopla?
I think hoopla is a very good choice of word, only because that's really all it is. I mean, I think it's nice, like, you know, when my only focus is showing up to the field every day and preparing myself to go play 9 innings of baseball. I love the game, and I think that what I enjoy most is just, you know, my time spent, you know, here at Wrigley and all the hours that nobody really gets to see. I think I got no choice to be humble because this game is so hard, and you know, I think whatever success that I'm seeing right now is new to everybody, and you know, I want to be able to keep it going as best as I can this year. So there's no reason to get ahead of myself and think that this is anything more than just a little bit of success in the first half.
It is such a hard game, and you have made it look easy. And I know that it isn't, but just curious, from your perspective, maybe there's something technical to explain it. Maybe it's just a lot of breaks going your way, but how do you explain why you've been able to make the jump this season as quickly as you have?
I mean, just having a year of experience, a year and some change, I guess, that's huge. And I think that, you know, just being able to know what I'm doing that much better is big. But, you know, I mean, yeah, I would say that I'm just growing up a little bit, and I'm really relying on a lot of good people around me to kind of steer me in the right direction, and that's what's worked. You know, I think there's a few things, you know, physically that I could probably attribute to, you know, certain success that we actually see with the bat, but like I just mentioned a second ago, I think it's more so the work behind the scenes and the work on myself that is playing the biggest part in any sort of success we see here.
Managers like Terry Francona have mentioned the elite bat speed, and other people have talked about your swing and how you have generated so much power for a guy that isn't, you know, imposing. You're big enough, you're strong enough, and you're athletic enough, but you wouldn't expect that you would be necessarily leading the Cubs in home runs if you looked at the around the clubhouse. To what do you attribute your burst of power, and have you made some technical changes with your swing that have made a difference?
I wouldn't say any real changes. I think the swing, you know, the swing is in a good spot, and it was in a good spot coming into the off season. But I think bat speed wise, I think I would have to go and say that I'm using a 34 now, mm-hmm. A 34 inch bat. So I think being able to move a little bit more mass at a really efficient, you know, or in a really efficient way, I would say that's probably why balls are flying a little further more regularly. You know, I just getting to be able to move a little bit of a heavier stick towards the baseball, I think, is just, I'm no scientist, but I think that's why you're seeing more balls fly a little further.
We're talking with Cubs star outfielder Pete Crow Armstrong here on Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Pete, today is a big day at Wrigley Field. We got news this morning that Sammy Sosa will be there, introduced to the fans on the scoreboard, we believe, in the second inning. We'll be touring the facilities before that. As somebody who grew up, whose dad was a Cub fan, growing up locally and in the area, as a student of the game, what does Sammy Sosa being there today mean to you?
Shoot. I mean, I got to see him already this morning, actually, which was really nice. I think having him back is very important. You know, I think that, and I don't really know all that much about his journey over the last, you know, 10 to 20 years. But, you know, being a watcher of baseball, I think it's really hard not to appreciate what he did in a Cubs uniform. So I'm glad he's back. You know, it was nice to see him excited. At least that's what it seemed. And I mean, the energy that guy has towards baseball and the enthusiasm he's got towards all of you know, our processes as current Cubs right now, it's awesome. You know, he's super supportive. And I think it's right that he's back in a place that he spent a lot of good years.
What were the circumstances that you met this morning? Where was it, and how surreal was it for you?
It was just right outside the clubhouse. I think it's, and this is not a knock at all, but I think it's gotten a little less of a wow moment as I've gotten to interact with him a little bit more. He really just kind of gives off a real feeling of love towards the game of baseball. Like I just said, his enthusiasm towards just talking about the game is amazing. And, you know, it's really cool seeing him every time, just because, you know, the first time me and him connected, he was super complimentary about, you know, my game. And that was before he had, you know, seen anything happen this year. And that was before I had a lot of, you know, a lot of anything to show for it. So, it means a lot hearing nice compliments from a guy like that, you know, when he did it so successfully for a while.
Pete, guys like me describe your approach on a daily basis as being someone who's charismatic or exuberant, maybe a tad bit flamboyant at times. How would you describe your style of play and what you bring to the ballpark each and every day?
I don't know if I'd say flamboyant. I don't know. I mean, I enjoy this, you know. And, you know, I've had times where it's hard to enjoy this. So I think, you know, this year, a part of the approach that you mentioned, like, I think showing up to the field, you know, ready to play is one thing, but showing up to the field wanting to get something out of the day here and, you know, being able to impact the 40,000 that give their time to us. I think there's just been more of an emphasis on that this year. You know, we play at a really special place, and I mean, my style of play, I think, fits here. You know, people love coming to the ballpark, and you know, that's just a great opportunity for me to go be myself and match that energy that everybody brings in. You know, I love competing, and I get the most out of myself when I want to go out and win ball games, and, you know, whatever that brings out of me, it brings out of me. But I think the best part about that is that it's all just authentic.
Well, you got Craig Counsell to smile and even laugh a little bit, so that's no small thing.
No, I got that guy busting out in belly laughs all the time.
How would you describe your relationship with the manager?
I mean, it's great. He's one of the best people I've been around in this game, no question about it. He's great. He's such a thinker, and I think that really benefits us when it comes to in-game situations. And you know, I think that benefits us in the clubhouse as well. When I think I can look at him and you know, see that we really got a guy who cares about us, and he cares about the game as a whole, and you know, the big picture that we're all playing for every day. So, I mean, Counts has done such a good job. I mean, dating back to last year when he started, he's just done such a good job of you know, leading a really good Cubby team. And you know, I'm glad that we're backing it up and backing him up a little bit better this year. And I think the relationship with Counts is exactly where I, you know, would want it to be if I was looking back a year ago, wondering where I'd, you know, be at now. I think it's exactly where I'd want it to be.
We're talking with Pete Crow Armstrong here on The Score. Okay, so we need a clarification, Pete. You've been called a variety of nicknames, and just curious which one you prefer. Is it MV Pete? Is it PC Awesome? Is it Pete Crow All-Star? Which of these are better, or have you heard one that's even better than any of those?
I mean, my buddy's got some nicknames for me that I hear probably a little more regularly. Some are not so kosher. I like being called Pete, and I know that you know, PCA has kind of taken off over the last couple of years. I'm not the MVP. I am not an All-Star yet. So,
slow down. Know,
if I say anything about it, I'll just say that I appreciate people associating my name with those kind of words and titles. I think that's really cool. But all that stuff, you know, it's becoming real to me, and it's not so bewildering and funny anymore. But it is really cool.
It's a great answer.
It is really cool.
Yeah, and I think your humility is coming through. And I'm just curious, so you help us also understand this. Your dad grew up a Cub fan, and as the story goes, the more you accomplish, the more people talk about you and getting into some of your past. Did you watch the Kerry Wood 20 strikeout game growing up regularly as you were a young baseball player learning the game? Does that resonate with you? What's the story behind that?
I guess the way it went, according to mom and dad, was there was very few mornings when I did not go into their bedroom and wake them up asking to go play some baseball. That was my thing, was, you know, waking them up at early hours and saying, let's go play baseball. Danny Mueller just walked in here. I would go wake him up, tell him to go outside with me, and that would be that. But I do have a handful of memories. Yeah, sitting on the hardwood floor in the living room in front of the TV. And having them replay that game. I don't know what it was about it at that age that really, you know, resonated with me. But I was no stranger to that Kerry Wood strikeout game. And I mean, I think that was easy for my dad. I'm sure my dad made the choice to put that on a bunch just because he was a Cubs fan. So
yeah.
I think that's probably what makes the most sense in that. But my dad was a Cubs fan, and He is a bit of a baseball nerd, and I think that has definitely rubbed off on me as the years have gone on.
A lot of Cub fans hearing that will say, well, you were born to be a Cub, and they would want you to be here for the duration of your career. And I know that was part of the conversation earlier this season, Pete, when it came out that you guys were already talking about a contract extension, and that would be a big number. And just wonder, from a business perspective, you don't want anything to interfere with the progress you've made on the field, but how important is it for you to maybe lock up something long term so you are here for the duration of your career?
Well, yeah, I mean that's the goal. I think what's important to me is you know, being somewhere I feel convicted in winning it, and then obviously, you know, where
where I feel comfortable playing and living and all that for a long period of time. And, you know, I absolutely think that Chicago is the place to do that for me. And, I mean, yeah, I already take so much pride in being a Cub, and, you know, what comes with that. So, you know, any way that we can, you know, get me here for a while, I think would be ideal. And, you know, until then, I'm going to keep focusing on this year. 'Cause, you know, I would take a World Series this year over anything else, if I'm being honest. And, shoot, I mean, I see myself doing that here for many years to come. So, yeah, I mean, that's always important, you know, thinking about what could be next, but only using that as a real drive, you know, in my pursuit of success, I guess. Because the deal and the money is what it is. I like thinking about the years more than anything, and what signing that long-term deal could mean in terms of just any impact I have on this place.
Before we let you go, you said you're not an all-star, and technically you're not, but the numbers came out earlier in the week, and Pete, I'm sure you saw, there's only three players in baseball that got more votes than you did. Freddie Freeman, Shohei Ohtani, and Aaron Judge. What's it like to keep that kind of company?
I mean, that is definitely something that a younger version of myself would look back at and be very proud of. Those are three of the best baseball players of my lifetime. So it's cool. It's special, but you know, I think the coolest part about that is you know, I remember all-star voting and whatnot when I'd go to Dodger games growing up, and it was getting close to the break and they had all the ballots out there, and I'm sure they're probably just on like QR codes now, but I remember loving to vote for players that I wanted to see play, and I didn't really know no better, so I don't know if I was going off stats or what, or how much attention I paid when I was voting, but I mean, I have voted for Freddie Freeman in the past. You know, I have voted for, you know, guys that I just look up to. So, yeah, it's that's special to me that I am, you know, in the same conversation, because those guys have given me a really good blueprint to follow. You know,
gotta let you go, Pete. But if this is indeed, before we do, if this is indeed a movie starring Pete Crow Armstrong this year, how does it end?
Well, I would like the final credits to start in the beginning of November. I think that would be the best way to finish it off. I mean, I don't want to be the star of a movie, if I'm being quite honest with you. I would rather it be some funny montage of the whole team and what we've done as a collective. You know, I think that would be the ultimate reward. So that's how I'd want our movie to end here is sometime after October when we can, you know, spend a little extra time in Chicago having some fun celebrating something.
Well, you got quite a cast, and thank you for the drama so far. Best of luck the rest of the way. Thanks for joining us this morning, Pete.
You bet. Thank you, guys.
Pete Crow Armstrong on Mully and Haw. That was fun, a lot of fun. Breaking news on the score brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Jonathan Toews, Blackhawk legend, captain of all captains, Captain Sirius. He intends to sign with the Winnipeg Jets, according to Pierre LeBrun of The Athletic. Jonathan Toews to the Jets. Wow, big day in Chicago sports. A lot to react to. You want to keep it right here because Marshall Harris and Mark Grody at Gallagher Way back to wrap things up in a moment. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. David Haw here. Mully off today. We still have a lot of people to thank because this was a show. Quite a show. We had Pete Crow Armstrong, you just heard. Sammy Sosa is going to be at Wrigley Field. Jonathan Toews is a Winnipeg Jet. Other than that, nothing happened. Nothing at all. It's been a quiet Friday morning here in the studio. But thank you to Tyler Butterbaugh, who filled in for Brandon Fryer and filled in for Tyler Farrengold. But he just filled in and did a great job, so thank you. Thank you to Dustin Rhodes, our executive producer. Thank you to everyone out there who called and texted and emailed. And thank you all for your calls and your texts and everything. And most of all, thank you for listening on this Friday, June 20th. Keep it right here because there's a big day ahead on The Score. We've got Marshall Harris. We've got Mark Grody. They are broadcasting live from Gallagher Way, leading up to Cubs Mariners at Wrigley Field. Pregame show 12:45 with the great Zach Zaidman, leading up to the first pitch with Pat Hughes and Ron Kroemer, all brought to you by IDOT. The Illinois Department of Transportation will be on hand with activities to show you how you can be safe driving home from the game. Visit itsnotagameillinois.com to learn more. Programming note, I'll talk to you tomorrow morning. It's inside the clubhouse 9 to 11. Bruce Levine and I will talk baseball. We've got, I think, Steve Stone, possibly Dan Wilson, a lot of other surprises along the way. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you for listening this morning to the Mully and Haw Show. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.